Okay, we're going to start the Ikar Sugya. The Ikar Sugya of this parak is the Gzeira of Nehemiah, the Gzeira on Kalim. So the Gzeira of Kalim, until you learn Kol Kalim, you don't really understand what it is. You know, in the world's eyes, so they assume that most Kalim are completely mutter and Shabbos. There's nothing to talk about. Your fork, your shoes, it's all completely mutter. And then you got your hammer and your needles and your sewing machine, and those things are all muksa. So we come to Kol Kalim, and we see that Gzeiras Kalim is really one Gzeira. The Gzeira in the beginning and the inception of the Gzeira, it had nothing to do with Klishul Machtel, Isser versus Heter. It was on all Kalim. All Kalim were Aser. And the Mishnah tells us that originally it was all Kalim. The Braisa tells us all Kalim except for three Kalim. And those three Kalim, they were very important to be used on Shabbos, and therefore those Kalim Chazal allowed. And even those Kalim, Pashtus, those Kalim also, they weren't completely mutter. It was just you're allowed to use them on Shabbos, Litzorech, Shabbos. Now, how do they live? How do you live with just three Kalim? They seem like pretty random Kalim, like a knife and whatever exactly this so is, and like they're three Kalim. How do you get dressed in the morning? How do you make Kiddush? What cup do you use? So Rashi tells us that just like a knife is listed as one of the three Kalim that's mutter, together with that is all sorts of Kalim that are Tadirim B'Tashmishan. Kalim that you have to constantly use, that are very pressing to be used, to manage, so all those Kalim you were allowed to use, meaning you're allowed to use, at least to use them for Tzorech Shabbos. And then what happens, the Gemara tells us, the Braisa tells us, that Hitiru v'chazru v'tiru, and then at the end of the day, b'mechazal, what was the Isser? So you have a machlokas Rava and Rava, what the Isser was. Rava says, klisha malachta laheter, you're allowed to use the Tzorech Gufon u'mekoma. But you're not allowed to move them l'tzorach atzman. You're not allowed to use them mechamel, move them mechamel itzal. You can't move them for their own protection. Whereas Rava said, no, Rava says, klisha malachta laheter, you're even allowed to move it mechamel itzal. Right, so imagine if you leave your shoes out. Someone left their shoes out on the deck on Shabbos, and he sees it's about to rain. So Rabbi would say, you're not allowed to carry them in, because that's for the shoes. Even though shoes are malach on the hetzer. Rabbi would say, you're not allowed to move them in, whereas Rava says, no, you're allowed to move them in, because of the hefset of the shoes. You're allowed to move it in. So we hold like Rava. But the big question is now that we hold like Rava, what exactly does that mean? Does that mean that we completely abolished the Isser on Kalim? That the Isser of Kalim is only Shayech by Klisha Malachta L'Isser, whereas Klisha Malachta L'Heter is completely mutter, it's no different than your food on Shabbos, you're allowed to move it for any reason whatsoever? Or do we say no? That from Rabba, we could learn to Rava, that Rabba clearly held that there is an Isser of Klisha Malachto Leheter, and if you want to move it, you need a valid reason. And Rava also, there's definitely room to say that some Rava agreed to the basic premise that there is a Gzeira, it's just what's a valid reason they had a machlokus. Rava says moving the shoes in to get them out of the rain is not a valid reason. That's not enough reason to be matter moving them, presumably because it's not Tzorech Shabbos. It's not a chashuv enough, it's not a Shabbos like a reason to move them. Because Rava said, no, in order to save your shoes from being rained on, you're allowed to move them into the house. But what about if there's no reason? There's no valid reason. It's not Tzorech Shabbos, it's not for a hafsid. So can you move these shoes? Can you move the klishim lachto lahatar? So most Rishonim say no. Most Rishonim, the Rambam, Ramban, Ran, Arzarua, most Rishonim say, we'll see exactly how they get to that, but style the Pashas Gemara's mashma, that you need some sort of a heter. Gufa, Mekoman, or Mechamel itself. And the Svarz for that is really Pashat. It's because the premise of the whole Gezerah in the first place is that you can't carry any Kelim on Shabbos because you might come to Hotzah. Then we saw people were being more careful about Shabbos, and we became more worried about Onik Shabbos. People's Shabbos is going to be miserable. So therefore we started chiseling away at that Isser. And we started saying, even for purposes, you're allowed to move. At the beginning you couldn't move it at all. Now, if you have a valid reason, you can move it. And we were very expansive, legabe malach de lehetter, that if it's any tzarach Shabbos, you need to use the object for tzarach Shabbos, you need to use the place where the object is, or even if you want to avoid a hefsed on Shabbos. Right? How enjoyable is Shabbos if you know your property is being waterlogged outside? So mamela, we gave heterim. But what about out of hector? Right, lamasha. Right, this really happens more than we probably notice. Right, you're in your guest room or room that's not needed for Shabbos, and there's someone left their shoes on the floor. That's not where it belongs. It's in the guest room, the shoes, someone's shoes. The person doesn't need the shoes for Shabbos, it's not the shoes they're wearing. And the area where the shoes are is not needed for Shabbos. The shoes are not in danger of being damaged. But you want to tidy up, right? You know, definitely women often like to just, things should be where they belong. This isn't where the shoes belong. Let's move them where they belong. Right? And it's, right, well, does she have to leave the shoes there, right? So people assume no. It's shoes, it's not a hammer. But most of the Shonim would say that that's Aser. Another case this comes up.
Why can't that be considered to be Tzarech Makomo? Because it scares me.
Because what?
It bothers me that the shoes are there.
So
if I have an air conditioner blowing at me, I'll say it's Tzarech Makomo.
Right, but so that's why I'm saying it's not in your living room. If you're in your living room, maybe you could say that I need the makom. This is ruining my use of the makom.
A woman needs
but
that makom.
Let's say it's not.
Put on the shoe for myself,
you know.
And then make it start goofo.
I don't know. So you could do that, right? You could put the shoes on, right? Okay. But I would assume that people who just want to tidy up, it's not that they, you know, she doesn't plan on walk, let's say for argument's sake, she doesn't even plan on walking back into this room the whole Shabbos. It's not going to hurt her psychological well-being.
It does.
Right.
Bothers her
effects,
she knows it exists.
Okay, I don't know. So this, I don't know. You know. But I would assume that it's just not a, that's not a tzorach, right? Or let's say the other case that's the chayra part of this, would be part of this issur, is some stam. Usually people like to have things in their hands. So often, like people are singing Zmiras at the Shabbos table, but they have the fork in their hands, or they won't go to get a fork on this. They couldn't tell you exactly what this fork is doing for them, but they're, you know, that l'chayra, we won't call it tzarech gufo, you're not, l'chayra, we won't call it tzarech gufo, you know, unless you get very psychological, and every psychological need is tzarech gufo. The Shit L'Ran quotes from the Ra'ah that the Ra'ah was Mekum. The Ra'ah held no, the Ra'ah held that the Rava was completely Mekum. And is after Rava, Mechamel Tzel is Mutter, Behua Din, Shalol Tzarech Klal is Mutter. Most of Shom though argued, and there's two very strong Ra'ahs they bring. And I want to mention the Ra'ahs because you see the Ra'ahs and you hear like how much Tzarech is needed to be Mutter. Well, what's meant by Tzarech? What does that mean with Tzarech? What does it mean, Shalom Sarah Klau? So the Rad brings a very strong Rai. He proposed the Mishnah Menachos, there are Gemara quotes. The Mishnah Menachos talk about the Lechem HaPanim. The Lechem HaPanim were arranged, and between the different layers, there were six layers of Lechem HaPanim, between each layer, they put Kanim, these golden half pipes, that were there in order to make sure that there would be some air circulation around the loaves, and therefore they won't get moldy. So the Mishnah says, Lo sidur kanim v'lo netilasam dochas haShabbos. Ela nichlas me'erav Shabbos v'shomtan. That every Shabbos they would replace the lechem apanim. They would eat the old lechem apanim and put it on the shulchan new lechem apanim. But before Shabbos, they took out those kanim. Now, why do they do that? Those kanim are klishim lachtel hetzer. It's not an isser. They're just there to help their spacers. So why do I have to take these spacers out before Shabbos? So the Gemara says, because they're nachinam, the klishim lachtel hetzer, but you still have to move them before Shabbos, and you can't replace them until after Shabbos. So why is this? So the Gemara, the first opinion in the Gemara is Rav Elazar. He says that this Enochinam, this Mishnah is not true. This Mishnah isn't true, Lalacha. This Mishnah is an old Mishnah from before they were matter, the original Gzeres Kalim. At the beginning of Gzeres Kalim, Klishim Lachtel Heter was usher removed for any purpose. Oh. So that's the time period in which this Mishnah was written. But the Mishnah really is not true, Lalacha. Right? But as Hashem, we rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, we will be able to take those kanim off on Shabbos. However, that does not seem to be the Maskanas HaGemara. The Maskanas HaGemara says, no, it's even after Hataras Kalim. Afal Pikin, you can't move these spaces on Shabbos because there's no reason. It's not enough of a tzorech. Because the Gemara says, the whole reason is that the lechem shouldn't get spoiled, it shouldn't get moldy. And if we just keep those kanim off on Shabbos, it says, b'hai purta lo ma'afsha. It's not going to get moldy in just one day, and therefore there's no problem if we keep the kanim off the shulchan from before Shabbos till after Shabbos. So therefore, even though it's klishim lachtel hetter, this is not letzorach. It's not a valid tzorach, and therefore you can't move these kanim on Shabbos. So what's to do about that? So the Ra'ah, the Sheet Loran, and the Ra'ah, so they explain that, no, you have to say, this isn't true. It's not true. Really, Lefi Rava, the Mishnah is not true. The Mishnah is Shalol Halacha. The Mishnah is a relic from Yimei Nechemia. This line of the Gemara, that the Kanim, you can't move Kanim on Shabbos, that's going according to Rava. It's Rabba who's saying it. The emphasis in our Gemara, Rabba is the one who says it. Others show them, though, the Ran and the Ritva, they have the Girsa that many Kisei Yad had, is that it says Rava. Rava was the one who said he can't move the Kanim. Rava, the one who said that Klisha Mlachta Leheter is Mutter, even Mecham Letzel, nevertheless he answered the Kanim. I mean, even if you're going to Rabba, it's interesting, the Maskanas HaGemara seems to be that you can't move the kanim. You would have thought, if this mission is Shalil Aliba de Helchasa, that should have been the Maskanas HaGemara. Sounds of Maskanas HaGemara is you can't move these kanim. The Rambam and the Meiri both bring this Lahalacha. That Lahalacha, Meheri Yibana Beis HaMikdash, the kanim cannot be moved on Shabbos. So therefore the Ran says this is a Raya, that Shalol Tzorach Klal is Aser. And you see what Shalol Tzorach Klal means. Is that there's just no reason for it. It might be a little more convenient. Right? But that's Shalol Tzorach Klal. Right? Mashma from this would even be that it's good to set your table. This is getting extreme. I didn't see anyone write this, but I'll just say, if you take this to its full extent, it's good to set your table for Shabbos. I mean, anyway, that's good. But it's good to set it for Shabbos, because then you don't have to do Tiltel Kalim on Shabbos. Okay? Sounds a little extreme. I didn't see anyone say that. But that would come out of this Ran. The Ramban brings another Raya, also a very stark Raya, from Daf Kufnun Dalet. The Gemara there is talking about a Chamar. Someone's coming with his donkey that's laden with all sorts of things on Shabbos, and he comes late. There's traffic, and he's delayed, and by the time he comes into town, it's already Shabbos. So what does he do now? He has his donkey there. So the problem is what's he going to do with all the muksa kalim on his donkey? So the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says if he has glass kalim on his donkey and he's afraid they're going to break, so he's allowed to bring pillows, put the pillows under the donkey, undo the buckle connecting the packages to the donkey, and the packages will fall on the pillows. And that way they won't break. And the Gemara says, why is that mutter? So the Gemara says, oh, you see, it's mutter to carry pillows in order to save muksa. And the Gemara says, maybe it should be aser, because it's an iser called Bavata Kli Mechino. You might have learned about it in the morning Seder, that putting a kli and making and putting muksa on top of a kli on Shabbos is aser. It says, no, it's not a problem there, because we're talking about that there are little, the packages will just bounce off the pillows and go on the floor. This will just break the fall. But the muksa will end up on the floor, the pillows will be okay, and therefore you can bring the pillows for this purpose. Then the Gemara says that that's only if there's a hefset. But the Gemara says if it's kalim, which is called kulsa, this type of glass that's being used for recycling, like sort of glass, old glass, glass containers that were used, you're just recycling now, and now if these glass containers break, it's only going to be a small hefset, hefset mu'ud, or actually it'll be a small hefset, because some of the little pieces that break, you won't be able to recycle, but it'll be a very minor hefset. So the Gemara says, for minor hefset, we're not choshesh, and therefore it's usher to bring the pillows. So why is it usher to bring the pillows? So the Ramban says the reason it's usher to bring the pillows, oh, you see, it's because this is considered shalol tzarach klal. That the hefset here is so minute, it's not even a hefset. And the middle, if that a hefset, you can't bring the pillows. Meaning that there has to be some sort of need. It can't be a totally absurd need. Right? Hard to know what's absurd. So that's why I choose my examples. I was choosing things that I think are like basically absurd. You completely don't need to play with your fork. You don't need to clean up the room when no one's using the room. Like things are just okay. You know, something's in your front lawn and there's an Erev and you don't like pollution. Okay, but that's fine. So maybe that lechayra is what they have in mind by shalom tzarach klal. Wow, so this is Pesach Shulchan Aruch, Shin Ches Dalet, Shalol Surah Klaus Asr. Right, you know, fine. So why have none of us ever heard of this? Okay, that's, you know, by some people that's a very big kasha. Why have we never heard of it? Right? Why is the minute to ignore this? So, you know, I'll tell you, the more you learn halacha, the less that kasha becomes a kasha. Yeah. You learn halacha in a rigorous way, and you realize that minhag doesn't always correspond. Okay, but there are some defenses given for the minhag, so let's go through them, why they're relatively weak. The most known defense probably, two very well-known defenses, one is the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan I've heard quoted so many times. He says, yes, it's true that Shulchan Aruch passed because you can't move Kli Heter, Shalol Tzarach Klal, but we never move things Shalol Tzarach Klal. Yes, the Rishonim talk about it, the Shulchan Aruch talks about it, but it doesn't exist, so you don't have to worry about it. Right? If it exists, you have to worry about it. But it doesn't exist, because no one does anything Shalol Tzarach Klal. When is the last thing you do things for no reason? If you're doing things, you have a reason, right? Human beings, that's the way we are. We have a reason. It might be a bad reason, but we don't have a reason for what we do. There's got to be a motive. So it sounds very reasonable. Yeah.
When we say that there is a reason, I thought, isn't it that if it's not gufo makomo mechamel atzel, then automatically considering no reason?
Right, yeah.
There are certain things, okay, we can consider it a reason for, let's say, like the example you gave, it's a reason for nucleus is not gufo das because I want the room clean, but at the end of the day, it's not, is it gufo makomo mechamel atzel? No, so it's not.
Right. Yeah, Baruch Hashem. Yeah, exactly. It doesn't mean, Tzorach doesn't, you know, it sounds good if you don't learn the sugya. Once you're sitting with a kol kalim in front of you, you understand that when they're talking about shalol tzorach, it doesn't mean there's no reason. Everything has a reason. Shalol tzorach means there's a need why this needs to be done on Shabbos. Right? People do terrible things with a reason. It means that there's a tzorach that needs to be done on Shabbos. Right, you know, I don't even know how the Aruch HaShulchan, he's bothering himself a little bit. If it's just hypothetical and doesn't actually exist, how is it that everyone talks about it? So, it's very, very weak. The other hetter that's given is, I think, has more basis, definitely an earlier basis. The hetter of Shulte Giborim. Shulte Giborim was very early Achron, 1500s. And he says a hetter here that really almost does away with the Isser, but we have to figure out why no one else said it. He says, no, he thinks, in a chinami, klish malachto, lehetter, needs a hetter. You need a hetter to move it. He says, but which type of klish malachto, lehetter we're talking about? He says, we're only talking about klish malachto, lehetter. They're not normally used. Something normally used, he says, look, Rashi tells you that there were gozer in all the kalim besides for three. And Rashi tells you that among those three are any kalim that are tadur b'tashmisha. All the kalim that are needed for Shabbos. So Mimela, all the Yisurim, Aklisham Lachtala Heter, those Yisurim were only made on those kalim that are not normally used for Shabbos. They're Heter, they're not Isser, but they're not the kalim that you need as part of your regular daily life on Shabbos. That's what he claims. If so, so it's a hard time to even think of which kalim are in the Isser, right? I put on my clothes on Shabbos, I set my table. What?
How does it fit with the two rayas from the condom case and from the pillow? Aren't pillows normally used?
Oh, yeah. Okay, great, great. So, okay, good, good. Pillow, I would think pillow is normally used on Shabbos. Okay, that's good, that's good. I have a package of questions, but that's a good question. The pillow case. The condom, okay, you say condom aren't, you know.
I would use it for the sake of preventing mold.
Mold on Shabbos. Okay, all right, that could be. Okay, the pillowcase they hear starker because you need a pillow to sleep on Shabbos. There's other rayos. Lazar Moshe Horowitz has how it goes in the back of the Gemara. He quotes, I think, the starkest raya. He says the Gemara talks about the shita of Rabbi Nechemiah. Rabbi Nechemiah, his opinion was that even after Heter Kalim, we're only matter using Kalim Letzorach Tashmishan for their set purpose. You can only use Kalim for what they're meant to be used for. You can't use them for secondary reasons. Right? He's more limiting on the final sack. So the Gemara says, Abaye Asakasha, Abaye says, oh, the fear of Nechemiah, how do we carry the bowls off the table? How do we clear our table? Everything on the table, according to Rav Chaim, we're not allowed to move. So the answer is, graf shel re'eis. Disgusting, so you're allowed to move that. But otherwise, Rav Chaim only allows you to move kalim shmalachton leheter for their purpose. And therefore, you can only use them to eat with them. You're really not allowed to move them back into the kitchen, except to smutter because they're repulsive. But one sec. L'chaira, according to the Shulte Giborim, a bowl is b'chal isn't in the whole gzeira. Right? You see other rayos like that. There's really a lot of rayos like that. The Gemara talks about putting a kli on top of an egg in order that the egg shouldn't break. And the Gemara talks about, is that a valid reason for moving a kli? Right? This is the Gemara Mem Gimel. Are you allowed to move a kli to protect muksa? The Gemara comes out, you could. But a kli, stam a kli that you're using to put over an egg, it's a bowl or a cup. And it sounds like it would be aser. Rishonim are b'feirush this way. If you look in Rabbi Nochanal here, the Meiri, the Rambam, the Kolbo, they all talk about, in describing what a kli shemalachto leheter is, they write kigon karos v'kosos. So it's a big chiddush. The Shulte Giborim is a big chiddush. No one said it before him. It's a big chiddush. So many write against it. The Chaya Adam, the Shulchan Aruch Harav, the Ben Ish Chai, and the Yalkut Yosef. All right, you shouldn't use this heter. The heter, though, has strength because the Mishnah Berurah does quote it, and he just says Yesh Machmirim, not to rely on the heter, but he does quote the Shulte Giborim. So that's a heter that many people use. But I don't. Honestly, I don't see how it could be fit at all. I really don't know. You have to do some kvetching. Definitely B'nai Torah, you know, we Baruch Hashem, you know, Ben Torah Shmuris Mitzvahs is different than other people's, and it's a very good thing to be mindful of. You know, it's an interesting thing, no one.
So Lamaisa, no fidgeting at the Shabbos table with the fork.
No fidgeting with the fork, yeah.
Okay.
Now what if you really actually need it? If it makes you nervous, so then you could call it Tzarech Gufo.
I feel like it's very subjective.
Right, yeah. No, so that would be called a tzairach, if it's enhancing your owning Shabbos. For me, it doesn't do it. You know, for me, I'll tell you what enhances my owning Shabbos. That, you know, the concept that everything you're doing on Shabbos, it has to be a tzairach. You know? It's tachlis v'asa shnayim v'aretz. I move a kli, I'm doing it with tzairach. That's me owning Shabbos.
Okay. I can imagine all my kelim and say these forks are all also called fidgeting forks officially.
So maybe that would work. You know, if it's actually a fidgeting toy, I assume that's Tzarech Gufo. Even Rabbi Nechemiah would be happy with that. Some that's okay.
I do that to all my forks in my cabinet.
Right. So you're saying maybe you could. Yes, maybe you could. Maybe that should work. Perhaps I could do that. Just another area. Area, this is no geya. There's one in it. It's beferish. Not so connected to the sugya, but it's beferish of Masechta Shabbos. There's an iser on Shabbos kofil ches that you're only allowed to clean your dishes on Shabbos if it's the tzorach Shabbos. Meaning after shalosh shudis, or let's say you know you only use paper for shalosh shudis, so after the day meal, and you know that these dishes, if you clean them, you're not going to be using them on Shabbos. So you're not allowed, the Gemara says you're not allowed to clean those dishes. Like this gives tremendous tzar to women in their kitchen. So if it gives them a lot of tzar, you tackle to use a heter. The heter that Rav Shlomo Zalman and others says is that if it bothers you, so then it becomes Tzarech Shabbos. So then it will be mutter. But if not, so it's Aser, the Gemara says on Kofir Gimel and Shabbos that you're not allowed to make your bed on Shabbos if you know you're not going to sleep in it until Motzei Shabbos. Right after you get up from your nap, you can't make your bed. But also it's brought down that if that really bothers a person, that's going to I personally can't even imagine how that bothers. Well, you imagine if you have a one-room house and guests are coming and your bed's not going to be made. Right, right. But if something really bothers you, so pashas that could be is also a piece of this, a piece of the system.
For Bali Muslim to insist on all bnei yeshiva must make their beds, including on Shabbos, is that together?
Right, a real kelmer, it could be. You just can't, you know.
What if you're not yet a real kelmer, but your rebbe wants you to be a real kelmer?
I don't know. I was once in the mikveh with Rav Shlomo Volba, and he was a real kelmer, and I was sitting there and watching him in the mikveh fold his towel. I have never seen anything like that. It was like the kier on the towel was like perfectly, like wow. Like the laundry companies don't fold that carefully, right? So it could be there are people. Okay, anyway. Okay. All right, so let's talk a little bit about Lachtel Isser. It's a long. Okay, we'll at least get a start on the sugya. Also, klishim lachtel iser, so has an added dimension of iser, and that is asur mechamel itzel. Right, you're allowed to use l'tzarech gufo mekomo, but not mechamel itzel. To protect the hammer, you're not allowed to move it. So the question is why the chumrah? Why the added chumrah by the lachtel iser? And based on that, what falls into the category of Lachtel Iser? So the Pashit, who calls it Tzad Aleph, Pashit way to explain this, the way I think everyone, definitely everyone who didn't learn Kala Kalim the way we would explain it, is where the Rambam explains it. The Rambam says that we're afraid you might do Malacha. If we let you handle your hammer, you might come to start banging your nails. This makes a lot of sense. The Ravid there is Masig, right? Mr. Mevran has already seen this Rambam, and Ravid puts in that no, the Rambam left out Hotsa, And the Ravitz says it's also a problem because it might bring you to Hotsa. But the Ravitz seems to agree, though, that the basic conception of the Rambam that there's a chashash to do malacha, there is such a chashash. It's just the Ravitz putting in, there's also a chashash of Hotsa. But the concept is that there's a chashash of malacha, and therefore it's very reasonable to say that the reason we're more machmer on malacha Isser, the malach to leheter is because of malach to leisser. In addition to the fear of hutsa or some other type of fear, you also have the fear you might come to start doing things with your hammer. So that we'll call the Rambam's mahal tzad aleph. Oh, so there's another tzad here, just to point out why this isn't so pashut, right? When you learn the din, it's not so pashut because, look, you're letting me use my hammer to open walnuts. If I open my walnuts, maybe I'll come to banging nails. If you really think I'm going to bang in nails, so don't let me bang with my hammer. What are you answering? You're answering taking in the hammer out of the sun. So what is that what bothers me? That's funny. That sounds a little bit more like Hotsa. Right? That it's I'm doing it to move the hammer to a better location. Right? So the Arish Shonim here, in the beginning of our parak, the Ritva and the Shita Laran, they both mention, they say the whole Eser Kalim is because of Hotsa. They say just because of Hotsa. They don't mention any other reason. So a number of Rishonim, like really the Rambam mentions this idea that you'll do Malacha, Chashash will do Malacha, but others seem to just mention Hotsa as a major. They seem to say the whole reason for Kalim, Esther Kalim, is just because of Hutsa. So they seem to leave that out. Apparently, you know, you can hear, you're worried about Hutsa, because something in my hand, I might walk outside. But I have a hammer, I'm going to start getting my nails and start hammering. So, you know, maybe we're not worried about that. Also, if so, if that's true, so if so, in the second Mahal, so why Taka? Why are we more Machmer by Klisham Lachto Le Isser? Then Klisha Machal Heter. So you can say a Pashat Hesper. Pashat Hesper will be is that, you know, Rashi says, Beit Salamat Zayin, he says that we really would love to answer everything because of Hotsa. We can't do that because things are needed Lesorach Shabbos. So the Mela, Klisha Machal Leheter, is more needed Lesorach Shabbos. Its primary use is Sorach Shabbos. It's more needed for Shabbos. And also, perhaps you could argue it's more prepared for Shabbos. This is, I expect to use my forks and plates on Shabbos. My hammer, I don't need it so much on Shabbos, and I likely didn't prepare it for Shabbos. I wasn't planning to use it for Shabbos. It's I didn't think about it. It has nothing to do with my preparations or Archana for Shabbos. So Mimela, second Mahalach would be, it's not that it's a Shash Malacha, but that it's less Tzarek Shabbos. It's only secondary use that could be relevant for Shabbos. So those are two mahalchim here. So mahalchim aren't spoken on Sol and Rishonim, but nafkamin is a lot of nafkamin. Many nafkamin. Well, we'll have to finish next time, but we'll say a few nafkamin. What if you have a kli that is not Tzarek Shabbos, its primary use is not something that's necessary on Shabbos. However, you also don't do a malacha with it. Right? So there's a lot of kalim that fall into this cloud. So one kli that's mentioned here at the beginning of the parak, Rishon talk at the beginning of the parak here, is what about a leichter, a ner, a shraga de nefta, whatever you call it, a menorah, the candlestick, that which holds the oil, that holds the flame. So if there was a flame on it, so it's muksa, right? The fire is muksa, and therefore the candlestick is a busis. We'll talk about what a busis is, what a busis is for muksa, and everything becomes muksa. But let's say you have a nice menorah and has been used for Shabbos, right? And you want to lock it in your cabinet, no one should steal it. It wasn't lit this Shabbos. Let's say it's your Chanukah menorah, okay? Your Chanukah menorah is left there in Shabbos now. It's the ninth day of Chanukah. Chanukah's over. I want to move it into my cabinet. What wasn't lit this Shabbos? I don't want anyone to steal it. So it's that mutter. So our first reaction would be is that that is a kli shemalachta l'iser, and therefore you can't move it l'tzorech cham l'tzel, and therefore you can't put it into the closet. And that's what Tosfos says. Tosfos on Kufchav Beis Amud Beis, Tosfos Rachas. So you should just there, he quotes this Gemara, the Gemara on Daf, Shabbos Daf and Vav. This is in Kirach, which we're going to do next man after Sukkot. I'll first do Notel and then Kirach. So Tosfos says it's a Malachtel Esther. Of course, there's a Gemara there. The Gemara there says a Shraga de Nefta. Shraga de Nefta means this menorah. This menorah, so Rav Yehuda says, Metaltel and Oso on Peshavas. It wasn't on Peshavas, you're allowed to move it. Rav Yehuda the Amora, not Rav Yehuda the Tana. Rav Yehuda the Amora says, you're allowed to move it on Shabbos. Tosfos understands, he means you're allowed to move it as a Klisha Malachtel Isser. It's not Muksa, but it is a Klisha Malachtel Isser. That's what Tosfos says. However, the Rashba, he says, no, it can't be. It's not true. He says, Ashraga de Nefta, a menorah that wasn't on Shabbos, you can move it for any reason. It says it's a klisha malachtel l'heter. It's not klisha malachtel l'isser. And he says, why? He says, because you don't, malach is not for isser. What do you do with a menorah? What do you do with candlesticks? Right? If you want to light a fire, you use matches. Maybe, so matches are a klisha malachtel l'isser. Maybe you can tell me a candle is awesome, the actual candle. It's klisha malachtel l'isser because you that's what you use to create the fire. But the candlestick doesn't make the fire, right? The candlestick holds the fire, it doesn't make the fire. And therefore, the Rashba says this is a klisha malachto lehetter. Right? And that's why Rav Yehuda says that metaltel. And he said, you're allowed to move a menorah on Shabbos because klisha malachto lehetter. He tells us if it was a klisha malachto isser, Rav Yehuda never would have been matter that. Because if you remember, Kufchav Beis Amud, right, at the beginning of the parak, Rav Yehuda claims that klisha malachtel l'isser is usher to move on Shabbos for anything. Right? He has this reason, the shita, the Gemara doesn't understand the shita, but he seems to say against what the right against the pashas of the Mishnah that you're only allowed to use kelim that are miyuchad l'heter. So therefore, the Rashi says avada. How can he say you're allowed to move a menorah on Shabbos? He said because it's malachtel l'heter. Right? It's not. So what do Tosfos think? Rashba's right. No, you don't do malacha with the menorah. Also, the answer is Tosfos to say is pashat. He said enachinami. You don't do malacha with it. It's not because you're afraid you're gonna do malacha with it, right? It's just because you pick up a menorah doesn't mean you're gonna start lighting it, right? By putting oil and making a fire, right? If I pick up an onion on Shabbos, doesn't mean I'm gonna go start frying it. It has to be that this is a kli you do malacha with. You don't do malacha with the menorah. But the pshat is the menorah is not something, its primary use is not something that you're metaltel on Shabbos, because primary use is give light. When it's being used to give light, you can't move it. So it's used to it's not a cleat of tiltel for hatter. Therefore, we're not matter as tiltel. We'll only matter tiltel for things that their primary use is to be carried, to be moved for hatter. But a menorah is not like that. And therefore, it falls into the category of Malachto L'Isser. Rav Akiva Eger points out another example of this. It's also Machlok Zushonim. He talks about the case of a wallet. What's the din? You have a wallet, but there's no money in the wallet. Right? And it's left outside of my deck, and I want to bring it in, it shouldn't be rained on. So if there's money in it, so that's Muxamachmas Gufa, I can't do anything. But there's no money in this wallet. So it's Machlokis. It's Machlokis in Shin Yud, the Mechaber, paskening like the Rif. Mechaber writes it's completely mutter. It's Klisha Malachtel L'Heter. Right, not completely mutter, but it's Klisha Malachtel L'Heter. Whereas the Ramah, paskening like Agos Hashri, he says that no, this wallet is considered Malachtel L'Isser. Now, you don't do any Isser with a wallet. But what's the pshat? The pshat is the wallet is not something that's primary function is Tzorech Shabbos. You don't use your wallet on Shabbos. But the wallet is made to be used. It's carrying your money. You don't do on Shabbos. Mela is considered. It's not that it's going to bring you to Malacha. Right? carrying my wallet, an empty wallet, does not bring me to a malacha. But it's not a kli. That's Tzorech Shabbos. So Mela is Muksa. So Rav Kiva Eger quotes that. He puts together Yisum Achloksim. He quotes the points out that the Shulchan Aruch in Reish Ayin Tes, the Shulchan Aruch just says stam that a menorah is not Muksa on Shabbos. You'll let it carry a menorah on Muksa. You'll let it carry a menorah on Shabbos. Mishnah Berurah there says, based on the Rav Kiva Eger, that no, but we Ashkenazim who go by the Ramah, the male, we should be machmir to consider menorah malachto lister. It shouldn't move it from Chametz itself. This comes up a lot in Mechaber Ramah. Another place you see the Mechaber Ramah have this machlok is by Tefillin. Tefillin's really the same situation here. Tefillin, what's Tefillin? Are you allowed to move Tefillin on Shabbos? So Tefillin is not Malachta L'Isser. You don't do Malachta with Tefillin. Pashtus, you're allowed to put on Tefillin on Shabbos. If you do L'Shem Mitzvah, it'll be Baal Tosef, so you can't put it on L'Shem Mitzvah. But Stam, if you put on Tefillin for some reason on Shabbos, you want to demonstrate how to put on Tefillin. So Pashtus is no Isser, right? If I stop today, I want to show someone what a lulav is, and I want to hold a lulav and show someone, teach my class, you know, I want to teach people how to shake lulav, right? There's no issur, as long as you're not thinking the shame mitzvah. So to on Shabbos, there's no issur. So the Beis Yosef says there's no issur, and therefore it's klishim lachdol lahetter. He writes this in Beis Yosef, it's completely mutter. He quotes a tshuva of Levi and Chaviv saying there's no issur, and he quotes a Gemara in Beit, an amazing Gemara. Beitza Tesvav, it says you're allowed to send a person as a present on Yom Tov, you're allowed to send them a pair of tefillin as a present. You're allowed to deliver the bar mitzvah gift on Yom Tov. It's muksa. So Beitza says it's not muksa, because why is it? It's a klishim lachdol lahetter, there's no problem. No different than anything else. Fine. So, the Ramah was cholik. Quotes Hagos Hashri as saying that no, it is Malachdol Isser. Why is it Malachdol Isser? So the Chad of Shad is Malachdol Isser because Tefillin is primary use is not for Shabbos. This isn't one of the things you use for Shabbos. In Mela it's Isser. Bir Halacha writes this in Simon Lam and Alf, he writes B'Shas Tzchak you can be Meiko. Right, so that's very important. So even though we go like the Raman, we're machmir, but b'shas tzchak gemekel, right? If you leave your tefillin outside, sometimes there's other sorts of kulos you're allowed to use to protect tashmishei kedusha from being damaged. But if it's outside and you're worried about it, so b'shas tzchak you'd be allowed to carry it. One last example. Okay, so the last example is maybe the most charged one. Okay, we'll end with this. We'll finish next week. What about books? Books on Shabbos. Secular novels. What about those? Are those Kishmat Lehetzer, Le'Esser, Muksa? So that Lechayrus also goes into this story here. So Pashtus, right, let's just say, first of all, there's some things you're allowed to read on Shabbos, there's some Lachta Leheter. But you're allowed to read things that are Chachmadik. There are some who are matter. If something's a kosher book and it's a person who can't learn, let's say a woman can't learn, it's a kosher book that gives you Onik Shabbos. So that also could be a matter. But let's say something that you can't read on Shabbos. So there's really different categories of these books. Well, let's say it's a book that's just it's shtus and it's bittul Torah, and you shouldn't read it on Shabbos, right? Chazal goes through that things with no purpose for Shabbos, they don't have a Shabbos purpose. You shouldn't read them on Shabbos because atu shtari hedyotos. It might bring you to do business sorts of things and read business things related to your business. So therefore, you start to read it. Okay, so let's just say it's a novel, and let's assume this novel is a novel that there's no legitimate Tzorech Shabbos to read this on Shabbos. Okay? Let's assume that. So what's the din? So the question, this is a certain question if it's muksa completely. The accepted of the poskim is what you find Tosfos says, basically Shalom says, Tosfos and Kuf Tazayin and Shabbos. Others say is that it's considered, it's not muksa, because even though it's ikur use, you can't read it on Shabbos, but it has a secondary use. You could use the book as a haichir or something, or as some secondary use. Okay. So Mashmos, the Shulchan Aruch, he talks about that it's not totally clear. Maybe it's muksa, maybe you wouldn't use this book, maybe we don't assume that books have secondary use, but it sounds from him that assuming it's not muksa, it's mutter b'teltel. It's not mutter to use. It's not, you can't read it, but you can use it for other reasons. Many of them have said, I saw Archel Shabbos and some other svarim have claimed the Seklishim Lachto L'Isser. And the Chayr that's in line with the Ramah. The Chayr the Ramah would like that. Why? The Ramah doesn't talk about it. It doesn't mention that point. But the Chayr the Ramah would be happy with that because L'maisa, you can't read it on Shabbos, so its primary use is not L'Serach Shabbos. So it's a secondary use. If only a secondary use is for Shabbos in the Melon, it would also be Klishim Lachto L'Isser. I'll just point out, not relevant to us, but just to mention, the Gra has a more Chamer Shita, which is the mention. The Gra writes that any book that's completely usher to read, such as a book that contains Kfira or Znus or that sort of thing, right? Probably every trashy novel, often found in good from houses. So the Gra Tainas, that since it's usher to read it completely, even on Chol you can't read it, he said there's no shame kli and it's muksa machmas gufo. It becomes muksa mamash. So that's a more, that's the Gra Shita. Okay? But I don't have to tell you about that because we're not supposed to read those books in the first place. But a kosher book, and if the people in the house don't have any tzarech, there's no tzarech Shabbos in it, so they should be treated as Mlachto L'Isser. Okay, if you can't learn, you need it, just keep yourself going. So, and it's a kosher book, so then it's.